Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Jake, lovely to see you.
Good to see you, brother.
Producer Connor keeps teasing me about this incredible story you've got about your suit, your Not Another Quiz Night suit.
Oh,
do you want to share it?
Connor, looks like the gout's got revenge, has it? Nasty. Huh? Great phrase, did you say?
The gout's
looks
got
like
revenge.
The gout's got revenge on the not gout situation then. Interesting. I don't know, man. It's quite gross.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's not really a story either. It's just a fucking me being disgusted. So Edinburgh Fringe, we had our Not Another Quiz Night show every night. every night at like 11 p.m. and finished at 1 a.m. And it's just a high energy show. A lot of running around, a lot of dancing, a lot of like getting people on stage and talking to them and whatever. I had two suits I was alternating. This isn't so much about the suits, it's more about the shirt. I was alternating between a green suit and an orange suit every night. And there was a little rail where you'd hang up your stuff and leave it there, come back for the next night, get dressed, do the show, leave. And I was alternating suits, but I was like, the show went well the first night. I was like, I'm going to wear that shirt again the second night. I'm going to wear that shirt again the
third
night.
You got a bit superstitious.
Got a little bit superstitious. I was wearing the same shirt. And I'll be honest with you, in a basement in Edinburgh in middle of August, I'm coming off of there after 2 hours, quite sweat, not just quite sweaty, like dripping drenched, in sweat, yeah. Drenched. And I'm hanging up the shirt and the suit, and I'm coming back, all intention to wear the other shirt, because there's another shirt, all intention to wear that the next night. But the lucky one's dry. It's dried overnight. So I'm thinking, it smells all right. It's all right. This went on for 30 nights in a row. However, on the final night, I had to go to a wedding the next day. My friend Andrew was getting married. And we finished the show at 1 a.m. My train from Edinburgh down to Bristol was at 9 a.m. So I had a few hours to get packed, try and sleep for a bit and get out of there. So I grabbed all my stuff, my suits, my costumes, whatever, put them in this big suitcase. Off I went, slept, got on the train. What I didn't have, which every other night we had, was that 24-hour period for the suit to be hanging up and drying.
Instead,
it was in this suitcase,
wet,
tacked up, wet, festering. And I was late to this wedding anyway. I'd already missed the actual wedding. I was getting there for the dinner, basically. And I got to like the Holiday Inn where I was staying for the night in Bristol, got the suit out, and I reached for the shirt, and it's wet. It's actually wet. Not only that, though, this time it does stink. And it is dripping with stinky, wet liquid. And I'm thinking, fuck me.
Not only is that just like this stuff from the night before, that's 30 nights worth of sweat.
Do you know what? I don't
dried, know. Crusted in.
And I'm thinking,
seeping out.
I've got a spare shirt, all good. I've forgotten. I've left in the panic of packing the bag, I've forgotten the spare shirt.
Oh my God.
So I'm there, late for this wedding already, getting a hotel hairdryer, drying this suit to combat the wetness, and then spraying it with like aftershave or like to combat the smell.
Pesticide.
So it should have been pesticide.
Yeah.
So it's blow and spray and blow and spray and blow and spray. And I wore the suit to the wedding. No one knows. I mean, they do now, but yeah.
Was it? I heard a rumor of mold being on it.
That's out of order. That's out of order.
Okay.
Was that
embellishment?
Yeah. That's like when we say that it's like there's like his foot's dripping with gout. Like he doesn't drip out of you like that. There's no mold. No mold. I mean, obviously the smell is bacteria, I suppose, but
do you still, I take it you binned it straight after?
Huh? Who we got coming on? out in the wardrobe. Let me find,
have you washed it yet?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, you sprayed and dried it well enough. You don't need to anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. French shower, they call it. I think that's offensive. on our episodes today is a man who will certainly not be doing anything disgusting like that because he's a man of class. Okay, he's a man of class. Although he's a bit of a prankster as well.
Yeah.
He is a very funny man.
Yeah.
Enough clues.
Likes his food.
Likes his food as well, does he?
He's got a catchphrase.
What is it?
Bash.
it's not Big John's.
Oh, is it not? Oh, shit. Who is it?
Fosh.
Max Fosh.
Max Fosh.
See what went wrong?
Yeah.
I need to go cancel a Chinese order for the interview bit. That's 60 quid I'm not going to get back.
Fucking hell.
Put it in a pot.
Fosh. It's the Fosh man. Max Fosh.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He is a very prolific...
Prolific.
YouTuber.
Literally millions creator. Of subscribers on millions. YouTube. I mean, I can't believe we've got him on. He's a massive, massive...
Are we going to do that bit where we say, in the like interview bit, where we go, and so our followers can find you, where should we find you? Yeah. Or is he of that level where it's almost a bit insulting?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what's the... What, yeah, everyone knows who you are. So,
yeah, everyone knows who you
are. Yeah, they can find you at, well, just on Max Fosh. Yeah. He won't be like that because he's a nice
no,
guy.
He's... Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, it's going to be a very funny episode. I just feel it already.
Yeah.
Should we go meet him?
Should we get into it?
Let's do it. I took a top-tier YouTuber and forced him onto a low-level trivia podcast. Joining our pub quiz team this week, it's Max Fosh.
Well, hey, you did the voice.
I did the voice. I feel like in the sort of seven times we've hung out now, I've done the voice at you each time. Are you sick of it yet?
No, I love it. It's an easy laugh.
It's the highest compliment, isn't it, that you are someone who can be impersonated?
Yeah, but it's a pastiche that I went on the pub quiz podcast and had a lot of fun.
I didn't think you had sort of a parody voice, though. Are you one of the classic ones? Are you on the roster, the impression roster?
I think, yeah, definitely.
Josh Berry's working on a Fosh right now as we speak, surely.
There's a guy who is a trained content creator who does my voice.
Bourgeois, not Fosh.
No, it's not Bourgeois.
It's not two.
I want to see if I can find... because
Ryan Windridge, surely.
I've just typed into Google, just train Fosh. And actually,
train Fosh.
And actually, Squid, you've just come straight up. So,
train Fosh sounds like Big John on the Caledonian Sleeper. Train Fosh. Train Bosh.
Brand deal.
Brand deal, get that sorted. God, he's doing Bosh Bingo at the moment.
Is he?
Oh, that's a great idea.
I bet instead of bingo, you shout Bosh.
That lovely stuff.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Lovely stuff.
No, I can't.
For anyone who's not listened to the last few of the Pub Quiz Pod episodes, we've decided just to sort of like be completely open about the fact we want to keep doing it in real pubs. We find it hard to because of the noise. Because there's always a new noise, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's always a new noise. We're just embracing it now. So
this
there will
is a
be
new
music.
One. We've got a swinging... We're on the top floor of a pub. We've got the sign swinging.
Yeah, it's a very creepy. Very Salem, big Salem wind trial vibe.
It is, isn't it?
So that's what you'll hear, but fuck it. It's not like one of these bloody fellas podcasts in a horrible... I don't know why I'm going on
rant
about these.
I mean, we are fellas.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I do like that.
I thought we were all going to get behind the banter, but that was a... Just sort of
what? Sorry. Yeah.
Just immediately throwing out names just from the bat.
I don't know what. What I'm trying to say is it's an organic podcast in a real pub, and they are going to be weird.
It is organic.
Today.
It's very organic.
Would you be interested in doing some sort of like fight night against a rival podcast?
Yeah. Who would we like to take on?
I love that conversation of who could beat who in a fight.
Yeah.
Should we get into that? So who could? Actually, yeah.
Jake beat the fight.
Who would you? Yeah. Well, I think if we...
I hate the conversation because when I'm brought into it, it's always as like the joke option as well. Oh, and then imagine who would Jake do? Who would Jake do? Probably whoever's got like a girl child, a small child that's a little girl. Why don't we do that one as a funny thing?
I did karate for a bit and just left because I kept my ass kicked by eight-year-old girls. Yeah.
Really? How old were you?
About 15.
22 would have been the lovely. What's the little...
Well, you know, it was like they were like kids. Sort of like same age as my niece sort of thing.
To be fair, you two taking on the screen rot boys, I reckon that's...
Do you think that'd be quite... And I got a load of comments being like, I always assumed this was Jacob Hawley on the Squid Vid.
What?
I get this a lot.
What?
With YouTube videos with two other creators. Zach Alsop was one of my best mates and Uber Butler. So we all get it amongst each other. Someone people will come up to us and be like, I love that video where you... And they'll just describe not one of my videos. We've all just decided to be like, yeah, thanks, mate.
Just all claim them.
All claim them. Yeah. It's nice, actually.
Yeah. So you've been victims of the Mandela effect?
Yeah, well, no, I think people
that's
just say...
Different. We haven't
say
I look like... prison for a while.
I look like Jacob Hawley. Or people was like, I always thought you were Jacob Hawley.
I always thought you were Jacob Hawley.
It was common with me. Like, I just always assumed this guy was the guy who did the Screenwork podcast. Sorry, Jacob. I know it's probably horrible for you.
Are you calling Jacob out to a fight right now?
Do you think... I don't think we would. I think we would lose against the Screenwork boys.
Yeah.
I think... Who do you think we could beat? What are the podcasts as a duo? It's like a podcast... doubles.
I mean, Jay Marler will see you now, so Jake's fighting himself, you know. He does it every day.
Jake, I tell you what, we'll do that and you can pick whatever team you want to be on. Me or Joe Marler. Totally up to you.
It's so hard to know.
Honestly,
isn't it?
Up to you. Up to you who you team you want to be on for.
He's a fucking nutcase. When it comes to sort of like fighting pain, that sort of thing, he loves pain. He loves it. Mm. He's sort of like addicted to sort of like experiencing. His dream, he said, is to feel the sensation of like a knife piercing his skin. He wants to get stabbed one day.
Is he all right?
I don't know sometimes.
I have an idea, you know, Fight Nights is very popular in the last 5 years for YouTubers or kind of people in the public eye to have fight each other at Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
I genuinely went into production and started to plan the world's first ever like YouTuber jousting night.
Really?
And getting like two YouTubers learning how, getting training them how to ride horses and get lances made of balsa wood. They do them, you know, like
the how far of, did you get in the process of putting this
we
together?
Looked into it and then we kind of spoke to the biggest issue was trying to find someone who was willing to train for about 2 or 3 months to learn how to joust and then genuinely joust someone with a balsa wood. And then I also, someone said, well, you need to be able to like do it as well. And
you've got to do it.
Exactly. That was kind of the conversation that I was like, well, I don't
what
to.
Percentage of your ideas come to fruition? How many of them are just
2.5%?
Really?
Yeah.
So many of them are just sort of starters.
Fall by the way.
I've had the privilege of going to Max's office, and there are files and files and files of just old ideas. It's fascinating.
They're all just sentences though. Like we had one the other day, which was like, "Can we legitimately kill someone with kindness?" We can never make that. I did have an idea of sticking like a fly in a tank and just playing like words of affirmation to it till it died. But you know, that's not a 10 minute YouTube video, is it?
And also the RSPCA will be right up your arse.
God, you can't move for them.
What's up? Can you give us a sort of like rundown, a quick fire of some of the ideas that never made the light of day?
I hired a hostage negotiator to get me an airline upgrade.
That feels like it could still be made.
It could be, but we just kind of realised what are they going to do? Just... You're calling up, the video is just calling up BA, and then they just go, no.
It's a TikTok, isn't
it? It's a TikTok.
Yeah. A minute.
It's a short
in
form.
In and out, yeah.
And that's kind of the disparaging thing that was saying the office, be like, it's a short, which is kind of the disparaging way of like, it's not quite a 10, 15 minute video.
Yeah.
But you know, there's lots and lots of those ideas.
The disparaging way is basically saying like something that, you know, they would do. Like a TikTok or an Instagram, something that's sort of like quite lightweight people would do.
That's not disparaging because I saw a comment underneath Squid Video recently, which I completely agreed. The top comment was, this is art. And it was under your Shrove Tuesday Pancake Day video. It was like, I think you should enter that into like the Palme d'Or, like genuinely.
That's very kind.
I was saying that to
kind.
You this morning. A lot of people were saying it's art.
That's very kind. But then I suppose I could say I could show you some art I made in primary school and I don't think it would be a compliment.
No, fuck me.
But no, that's very kind of you to say.
Well, Max Fosh, we're going to talk a lot about all the wonderful things that you do, but I'm also interested in knowing, do you quiz?
I love quizzes.
Do you get time to quiz?
Yeah, of course. I don't actually have that many people to quiz with. So if someone says, hey, do you come along, we'd have a pub quiz night, we do it with, I'm always there. But I don't have, I don't have my eggheads-esque group of individuals that are like, right, every Tuesday we quiz.
And if there was an egghead group of individuals, what would you be bringing to the table?
Knowledge of YouTube and sport.
Okay.
Kind of have my thing is that I feel like I know at least one thing about every sport.
That is an amazing claim, isn't it?
I know, now you're going to test it. Yeah, it's going to unravel. Exactly,
I know, immediately I'm like, all right, kabaddi, go. But I'm not going to... do that.
No, thank you.
But golf?
Oh, golf. Yeah. Lots. There are. I mean, how in depth do you want to go? I mean, there are four majors. Tiger Woods has won the most amount of major tournaments. And currently Ludwig Oberg is leading the Players' Championship going into the final round.
F1?
Formula One, you know,
Lando. Saying Formula One after F1 doesn't count as a fact. Yeah. The F stands for formula. the one's a number, not a name.
You know, Lando Norris is the reigning world champion. It's not great. Although I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning to watch the Chinese Grand Prix.
Really?
Oh, you're really into sport.
Every single sport he knows a fact. I mean,
No.
We're not going to test you. We are a team today, but it's good to know.
What would you say quickly? Curling.
Curling. All of the curling stones in the world are made from one very small island outcrop that's uninhabited. So all of the stone is harvested from one outcrop off the coast of Scotland.
That's incredible.
I mean, we normally ask people for a fun, interesting fact, but that would suffice.
I've also got one of them as well.
Can we have it?
Do you want that one now?
Yeah.
So helicopter. You would think that those are two. I don't know why I'm laughing already. The word helicopter.
Pictured you helicoptering. I really did. I pictured you helicoptering, and I just smiled in your face.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a horrible grin as well. I went. Yeah, helicopter.
You would imagine the word helicopter is an amalgamation of the words heli and copter, but it's actually an amalgamation of the word helico and pter. Pter is Greek for flying, as in pterodactyl, and helico is spiral. So helicopter is an amalgamation of helico and pter, which is Greek, which translates to officially as flying spiral.
That's lovely. Really lovely.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Really, really, really brilliant.
I think we're going to do well today. As
I think we're
going to
really
get a good score.
A linguist and sport and... I mean, I don't know how much YouTube stuff will come up. But.
Because I think we've got a bit of...
It's the YouTube round, really.
There's always the question, who is the most subscribed to person in the world?
Yeah. There's always one of those. Do you have a team name for us?
Yes. I've stole this because I saw this, I heard this at a pub quiz the other week and I found it very funny. Our team name is Hip Hip. Just so that when the quizmaster reads out in between rounds, they go, and seven places, hip hip, and then we all go, hooray!
That's really good. I don't think we've had one like that
that's
before.
Good. Nice, that, and that would make a good short as well. That's a lovely, it's one for a short.
Yeah. I named my pub quiz team Hip Hip, but why?
I think that's the problem with the Foss Boys, is that when you say it like that, it does feel like, well, it's going to be quite an in-depth documentary.
Yeah.
I named my pub quiz Hip Hip. How did he do it? Where did he go to the length?
But why? Yeah.
But why? I'm sure you know, but just in case you don't, each week we get a genuine pub quiz sent in from a genuine quizmaster. This week we are taking the stabilizers off another quizmaster and welcoming him to the Gladiators roster. So we've got a bit of a roster of people who send in quizzes regularly.
Yeah.
This is Dave from Big Penny Social. He sent in a quiz, I think, once before, twice before, just once before.
Big Dave.
He's his first returner.
It was with Dave Durkinep.
Yes. Oh, it was very good.
And from what I remember, it was quite... I remember it quite well. There was two rounds that were weirdly very easy and then one round which was just ludicrous, and that was a wipeout round. And it was also quite... Because Dave had been to the Big Penny Social, as in guest Dave, and Dave Quizmaster runs it there, and he said it's a very laddie place. They'll have a football on.
And it was
a bit of a laddie quiz. It was a bit...
Laddie in the sense of craft taproom laddie.
Yeah, but it was a bit, it was a lot of...
Not,
actually,
not Belushi's laddie.
One of the rounds was like the referee's a wanker and stuff like that.
Speaking of laddie, I found recently the best... Have you heard of Sporkle?
Oh, yeah.
I love Sporkle, yeah.
The Sporkle, there is one particular quiz on Sporkle that's my favourite, which is the 2013 Nuts Magazine Men of the Year Top 10. And you have to try and guess who they are.
I'd love to do this.
Hold on.
Men of the Year, 20, what year? 13?
I think it's 2013.
Nuts Magazine Men of the Year. Is more your age. You'd have been about 20 here.
Or was it Zoo? It was like...
Oh, that changes things.
Slightly different demographic.
Yeah, okay, start again.
I have to call fellow YouTuber Zach Allsop because I played this with him at the pub and I need to...
Get Zach on the pod actually at some point.
Yeah. He's great.
He's from my neck of the woods. He's from Radstock, isn't he?
He's from Midsummer Norton.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
Is that near your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I'm from Wiltshire. So very about nice. Half an hour from Midsummer Norton. You don't do anything with... Because I used to always watch with
Zachary.
Ollie.
Hello, mate. I'm literally on a podcast right now with Squid and Jacob Bardwaj. And Liam. What was the name? I'm trying to remember the Sporkle quiz we did at the... which was like the FHM... Was it Nuts or Zoo or FHM Men of the Year? What was it? Do you remember?
Say the first bit again.
We were at the Taste of India restaurant. Was it Taste of India?
What are you talking? Taste of India? Where?
Right, when we went to the Indian restaurant with Simone and some of her pals, and someone got up a Sporkle of like a Nuts or Zoo magazine, like People of the Year, and we went round and we tried.
Oh. Yeah, what do you want to know about it?
Because I want to try and find... No, it was a literal round on Sporkle, and I want to try and remember, I'm trying to search for it, but I can't find it. Sporkle is a quiz... You actually don't know what Sporkle is, do you?
No.
No. It's like a quiz...
Called the one mate with a worse memory than you on this situation. What's Indian food?
I'm trying to find it. What was it?
Sporkle is an online quiz, Zach.
Yeah, I get that part.
Don't get snippy with me. I'm trying to help. I'm just trying to help, boys.
Shut up, Jake. Can you remember who was on it? Because that might help narrow it down.
No, it was like Clarkson and Hammond. I've given it away.
You've given us the answers. Yeah. Find the quiz up. Who do you reckon? Clarkson and Hammond.
Was it you that found it, or was it Seb?
He's fallen out with his mate. He's given it away.
Do you want me to quickly ring Seb?
Yeah, please.
Add him onto the call.
I've completely derailed this entire thing.
Seb, he's ringing Seb. Add Seb onto the call.
Can we get Seb?
Add Seb onto the call now.
Okay, fine.
I wish I never mentioned this.
Don't know if this is a prank.
Yes. Seb.
Hello.
Hello, mate. It's Max Fosh here.
Oh, hello. You all right?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm just on a podcast at the moment, which is about quizzing, and I was remembering the quiz that we did at that Indian restaurant, which was like FHM's like Men of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Seb's it.
Seb's getting it. Zach was fucking useless.
New Seb.
What was it? Because I'm trying to find it on Sporkle. I know it is on Sporkle.
What, the actual quiz? I don't think it was me who got the quiz up.
Oh, no!
Who was it? Who was
Everyone's adjacent.
I was just participating in the quiz. I wasn't the quiz bringer. Do you remember?
Zach, was it?
Do you remember the magazine? It was like Nuts or Zoo or FHM.
I want to say it was Nuts.
I think that's what we started with.
Yeah, that's what we started with.
And what year of the men? What year of man were they? I suppose
it was like
2005,
I think.
No, it was 2012.
You said started with 2013. You said.
Well, apparently I don't remember anything about it. I remember some of the men who were voted on it, but that's about it. Sorry to dud out your podcast.
No, okay, it's
all right.
Seb, honestly, you're the least responsible.
I would say when the post-mortem happens, it won't be you two that get the blame.
Yeah.
If it helps, I think David Attenborough was voted number one. Yeah. We were all quite surprised.
What?
Attenborough at number one and then Jeremy Clarkson at number two or something like that.
Right. So we haven't got a quiz.
We haven't got a quiz. I've just wasted 10 minutes of everyone's time and I've given them the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. We still haven't.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Cheers, guys.
Well, that was good. It was good, wasn't it?
So Dave, Big Penny Social, when does his quiz run, Jake?
Dave's quiz runs every Tuesday at 7:30.
I found it!
The
Sporkle quiz, which is... can you name Britain's top 20 blokes according to Nuts magazine 2011?
Brilliant.
Let's do the quiz, but as its own episode on Patreon.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to see this long-awaited quiz...
Hosted by Max Fosh
about... What is it again? It's...
Britain's top 20 blokes according to Nuts magazine 2011.
Come over to Patreon. We'll do it there.
It's pretty blokey.
Round one is the referee's a quizzer.
Is that meant to be a... Like a... pun on anything.
I assume it's going to be a football round or a sports round.
The referee's a quizzer.
I assume it's a bit like the referee's a wanker. It's not really a pun, is it?
No.
It's not. Well, when it doesn't rhyme.
It's like when you walk past those like shops that are, like, you're just like, is that meant to be a play on words? Yeah. It's like, you know, it's good when it's like, so it seems, and it's a selling shop. Yeah, great. Yeah. It's like seemingly brilliant. It's like, I don't think that is a pun.
Yeah. So referee's a quizzer. I imagine it's gonna be something football-y, so
yeah,
we've got the boys for it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Are you big footy lads?
He is massively.
I'm a bit more, yeah.
You?
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
I say that I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Mm.
I sort of had a, I guess like, Poch and Mourinho era. I sort of knew quite well.
Poch.
I've never say it convincingly either.
Poch.
I can't really say Spurs. I sort of have to say Tottenham Hotspur.
But you
as
are.
Well.
I will say Jake is a Tottenham fan, but he has also said to me this week he's sort of hoping they do get relegated just to see what happens.
Yeah. So what you can say you live through it.
Yeah, I just love living through stuff.
I mean, it's just exciting.
I'm an ardent Remainer. I feel like a lot of the country's problems stem back to the financial crisis of 2008, but that then in turn led to a sort of desire for Brexit, I think. But
hello,
anyway,
Alistair Campbell.
I think that how are you?
The rest is politics.
I think that I think so much of the problems in this country is to do with Brexit, but when it, at the time I was like, I voted Remain, but I was like, it would be fun if it happened, just to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to see. I often think I wish I remembered a lot more about the death of Diana, because I got to live through it. I went on TalkSport the other day, and as I arrived in the office, they were like, brilliant, you're here. Absolutely great. Spurs fan, right? I was like, yeah, great. Because today, obviously, the news is Thomas Frank, Spurs manager, has been fired. So we'll get you on, ask you a few questions about that. And I was like, fucking hell.
You were like Guy Gomer fucking in that hell. BBC interview.
I was there with the guy, the PR guy got me the interview on there. I was like, what do I say? He's like, what do you think about it? I was like, looking at all the people that are injured. The injury list would make the best starting 11. And he said, what are you going to say? You're going to say that? I was like, well, yeah, that's a good line, isn't it? He's like, what else are you going to say? I don't know. Or if you get everyone on the injury list, put them out, then you'd have a good starting 11. And then what do you follow up that with? Well, you could say the current starting 11. You probably wish they were the ones on the bench. Swap it around. And I got so set in that as the phrase. I was like, right, that's locked. We've got that. That's the basis of what I'll discuss. I couldn't get anything. Thank God.
Did they ask you?
They did. They said Spurs fans. I said, oh, what? And he could spot it straight away.
Immediately.
So he just talks about quizzes, but fucking hell.
Who was the host?
Charlie Baker and Max Rushton. Lovely guys.
Oh, yeah.
So on the 18th of January, 2026, which nation won the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament? Morocco, Senegal, Nigeria.
So this is the one that was this year. This was the final that they all went off,
yeah.
And then came back on. It was between Senegal and Morocco.
Who were the host nation, weren't they?
Morocco. Yes. And I remember Sadio Mane was the one who like led his team off, and he's from Senegal. Mm. And I think that they ended up winning.
I think you're right.
So I think the answer is Senegal.
Question number two, what countries take part in the Six Nations? It's very straight bat so far, this quiz, isn't it?
It is.
It's very straight bat.
Although you say that, African Cup of Nations has given us multiple choice for one answer. We've got to give six answers here.
You can't just give six options.
But it's just like, here's a sport, here's the question.
Yeah.
Who won? Who are they? So, there's no...
Rugby?
Yeah.
Into rugby?
Yeah. The answer is Italy.
Italy.
Wales.
Wales.
Scotland. England.
Yeah.
Ireland and the Frogs.
Lovely. Big fan of the French?
Yeah.
You played rugby as well, didn't you?
I stopped as soon as I was allowed to. Not like at full time, but like at the end. But like,
was your father was a professional cricketer or rugby player?
He was both.
Fucking hell.
Really? He didn't get that much crossover.
He played for Essex for half the year, and then he played for Roslyn Park, who was a fresh rugby team at the time, and then he retired at the age of 21. On both. Yeah.
How can you be a pro in both sports at the same time?
Because the way, you know, it wasn't as professional as it is now, and their season would literally only be 6 months of the year.
Right.
And so they would just, like, from, you know, April until August, he would turn up. That's not 6 months. April till October, he'd turn up, play cricket, and then October till April, he'd play rugby.
Was there a pressure on you? Was he, like, really keen for you to be sporty, get into sports?
No, I not at all. But I did really want to be a professional, and, you know, there was the biggest issue that talent let me down.
You're a very good cricketer.
Yeah, I played a lot of cricket.
I occasionally meet someone. I hope you don't take offence to this, but if I occasionally meet someone quite posh.
Yeah.
They will just randomly be like, yeah, my brother played cricket against Max Foss, very good cricketer.
Really?
That's happened maybe three times.
That's nice that that's...
Yeah, one of which was Henry Hayes.
Henry Hayes, I did play against Henry Hayes. Henry Hayes.
He was like, oh, Foss, great cricketer. He'll see something, if we've done something or something together, I'll then interact with a posh person, they'll have some story connects you to cricket.
Yeah.
That's such a brag, being like so sort of successful as you are in one industry and then being known for your pro-athletic cricket.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's
so
a little bit of a thing.
Henry Hayes, also very good cricket.
I suppose that circle of schools in that age, I suppose like you'd know the good cricketers.
Yeah.
Bowler?
Yeah, bowler.
Fast.
Spin, left arm spin.
Really?
I bat 11 and bowled left arm spin. I am basically exactly the same as Monty Panesar.
Don't know who that is, but I bet he's good.
He is. They look different.
And
but, yeah.
I've urinated on many a nightclub bouncer. That's what Monty Panesar did.
He did do that, yeah.
Really?
I haven't started a political party with George Galloway just yet, but
I didn't know he did that. I missed that.
He did, and then I think he realised he was like in his first like interview where they're like, right, Monty, how do you feel about this? And just kind of realised he had to do the actual politics bit of it as well.
Question number three, which wrestler surely you don't know about wrestling as well. Which wrestler had his final WWE match in 2025 and is known for the catchphrase, "You can't see me"?
You guys, that was the bloke who got hit by the car, bit by the bike when he was under the car, wasn't it? "You can't see me? Why are you coming fast? You hit me, and I hit the car with my head." Is that him?
I don't know if the "Why are you coming fast" man was in the WWE. Was he?
Agree to disagree.
I saw a video of Bevo the other day. Right, talking about how he's not falling off. Yeah. Which is always a sign of someone maybe falling off. Yeah. I'm not falling off.
No, I promise.
He's like, "I'm still here. Where's "Why are you coming fast, man"? He's gone. He's fallen off. As if that was his career. His career. Yeah. Like, "Where's "Why are you coming fast, man"? Yeah? Where's £1 fish, man?
As if that was his cousin. No, I get it with £1 fish, man, because he was trying to do something. "Why are you coming?" He was a bloke. It was just like,
I mean, it's a hard format to go from £1 fish to...
"Where's Ibiza Final Boss? He's fallen off." All just incidental things. Someone else filming them doing something. Yeah. None of them were like... None of them is taking ownership of putting it out there. "Oh, where's "Why are you coming fast, man"? Exactly.
That's really funny.
A really bizarre thing to say. Yeah. Do you know the wrestler?
Yes.
Go on.
It's John Cena.
John Cena. Question number four. Which football teams have these nicknames? Chairboys, Royals, Toffees...
3 points up for grabs.
So which football
Toffees is Everton.
Have these nicknames?
Toffees is definitely
Toffees
Everton.
Is Everton, and that's the kind of the only one that I know.
I'm assuming that there's going to be a bit of a clue.
That sounds like the Harrow first 11.
Chairboys.
They've also gone three absolute patter cake questions to a really hard one.
This is what I said, this is what he did last time.
Yeah. He just suddenly turned the dial up,
and then
he?
Just out of nowhere, you can't trust him.
The chair boys.
Royals, I want to say, we know it sounds a bit mad, I want to say Peterborough.
No, they're the posh.
And, I knew it was something fancy.
And I know that because, you know, one of us. and so, chairboys.
Which
city in the UK is famous for making chairs? Yeah, like
fantastic.
Sheffield is known for steel.
Yeah, really good. Yeah,
Redditch. Lincoln.
The Lincoln Chairboys.
I like Lincoln. Do you want to go Lincoln?
I'd be surprised, but what makes you say Lincoln?
Just sounds like the sort of place Lincoln that would make chairs. A lot of chairs.
Got a really nice Lincoln chair.
Yeah.
On Facebook. You've been to
Lincoln chair? Oh, Lincoln chair. That sounds like a
Lincoln
thing.
Chair.
And then the Royals.
It's not Rajasthan, I'm assuming, because unless they have the IPL franchise has a football division.
Follow the IPL as well?
Yeah, big time.
I don't know, you have the time. How have you got the time to do all this other stuff and then watch Chinese F1? I don't understand.
There's not a
team, I do not understand it.
There's not a team with like, the Royals. Could it be Queen's Park Rangers?
Nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
QPR.
And finally, number five, what vegetable is used in a chant about Chelsea FC and has consequently been banned at their grounds?
I do know this answer.
I don't.
It's celery.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But I don't know the rest of the chant.
Celery. If she don't come, we tickle her bum with a lump of celery. A stick.
Stick. If she doesn't come, we'll tickle her bum.
So it's nothing to do with when they throw bananas at black players. Oh, because it's a fruit, of course. Celery. Okay, so here come the answers. So,
Great, we do answers. Great.
Who won the Africa Cup of Nations football in 2005? It was Senegal. We're on the board. Here we go. Six Nations, they're exactly what you said. Italy, Wales, Scotland, England, Ireland and France. That's lovely, that.
Yeah.
John Cena.
Can't believe he got hit.
It was Everton. But the Royals was Reading.
Oh, I did know that, actually.
The Reading Royals?
Reading Royals.
I did know that.
And I can't believe this, the Chairboys, because it was actually sort of my second closest team growing up. Wycombe Wanderers.
They play at Adams Park. That's annoying because I thought Wycombe Wanderers were the Swans. Because
I thought they were as well.
They've got a swan on their crest. Also, they used to share a ground with Wasps, the rugby union team.
They did,
So I used to go to quite a lot of Wasps games.
I should have got Wigan Wanderers.
I should have got Reading as well.
Celery. There you go.
So it's a 5 out of 7.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. No, it's not bad at all. Shouldn't be downbeat, really.
Yeah. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
So round two is Netflix and chill. I remember these were the same titles as last time. It's a bit laddie. It's just a bit. It's a bit shaggy. It's a bit laddie. Number one, which Disney film features two dogs sharing a bowl of spaghetti?
Again, it starts with just a complete straight bat.
I'd love if they were just being really disparaging about the human actors, which absolute dogs. Yeah. Share a plate of spaghetti. Yeah. Which munters?
Two dogs. Yeah.
But are they asking for the name of the dogs or the film?
The film.
Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp.
Favourite Disney film, Liam?
Beauty and the Beast.
Nice. Fosh?
Hercules. Is that a Disney film?
Yeah, it is indeed.
Meg from Hercules was fancy making her. Yard big time.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
She was hottie.
She's beautiful.
And she's a bit naughty as well, you know. Ooh. Crossing Hercules with Hades. Well, I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't have thought so.
Big time. Yeah. Your favourite Disney film?
Lion King. Over and over and over again.
And this is going around at the moment, but do you know the translation for Savenya?
No.
It's literally, I think it's in Swahili, they go, there's a lion, there's a lion. That's the beginning of
There's a lion.
Yeah. It's literally like, there's a lion over there.
So the R is very much
Yeah.
It works for any animal. There's a snake. It's a snake over there. Any animal. Wow.
That's really good. Number two, the following are characters in which Shakespeare play.
Oh, God.
Paris.
Okay, fine.
Any takers?
Yes, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mercutio.
Yeah.
And Tybalt. Romeo and Juliet.
Rosa and Jezza.
Number three, who became the youngest ever Golden Globe winner at this year's ceremony?
Got it. Oh. Sorry, I know we should have some quality
It's banter. Fine. No, we don't have to have the banter. We don't have to have the banter, but what we do need is the answer rather than just got it and keeping it to yourself. I really don't care about the banter. It's the keeping it that I
dislike. It's the keeping
dislike.
The idea.
Got it.
Well, I've got it.
Yeah.
That's a lot. The answer is Owen Cooper.
Which film this year broke the record for most Oscar nominations ever?
Was it?
Sinners.
No, is it Once Upon a Time in the Country?
It would Leonardo have been, but that's not a film, so.
Is it Sinners cannot be the most...
One battle after another, you said?
Yeah, that's the one.
What did you call it?
One day after another country or something.
I think you said Escape to the Country. They've done really well this year. No, it's Sinners. It is absolutely Sinners.
Is it Sinners? I watched it.
I think it's brilliant. I really do. Have you seen it?
Nope.
Give it a watch. It does a very...
How long is it?
Here we go.
Yeah. I know I'm coming from like social media, YouTube land, but I do think that, you know, an hour and 45 and then it should just...
It's about that. I don't think it hits over 2 hours.
No, I will put £100 right now that it is over an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay,
and I don't even know, but just nowadays in Hollywood, they're pushing 2 hours.
Find out. I'll have to take that bet.
It's 2 hours.
Fuck!
Don't mean it's over 2 hours.
£100 gone, just like that. The thrill of the gamble. I'm on to you.
Please don't.
No, a bet's a bet, all right?
Number five, what animal shares its name with a restaurant-based drama?
Oh, we were putting Sinners, sorry. Sorry, Liam.
Sorry, no, we should have actually consulted.
Yeah, of course.
You happy with Sinners?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
What animal shares its name with a restaurant based drama?
The bear.
Nice.
The bear.
It's surely a 5 out of 5, this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we.
Have we done it?
The Sinners is the only one that
Sinners
might,
is the only
might,
one we're not yeah. so sure about.
I mean, I'm just trying to build some tension here. I think we've got 5 out of 5.
The bear, have you guys seen Paddington?
I've seen
film
one
or show.
No, seen one no, of the no, films, no. I think.
We were discussing, I was discussing with some mates about, you know, they had Paddington 1, Paddington 2,
mm-hmm.
And then Paddington 3 when they took Paddington, it was Paddington in Peru.
Yes.
And I was just so cross because they've put the fish back in the water. Like with the first two, it's Paddington in Notting Hill. Great fish is out of the water. Mm-hmm. Don't put the fish back in water. If you need to do the alliteration, do Paddington in Paris.
Lovely.
You know,
yeah.
He foils a heist at the Louvre with marmalade and a hard stare.
Paddington in Pakistan.
That would be... I'd love to see Paddington in Karachi.
Yeah.
He goes to an ODI game.
In Pakistan.
He mediates India versus Pakistan. He goes to the border.
He's finally solved it. Then I've been at it for years.
Yeah, exactly.
Paddington sorted it out.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm so passionate about Paddington, but I really...
Paddington in Poland?
Paddington in Poland. it's actually a documentary about how their economy is really thriving in the 21st century. Why are they the fastest growing nation in the
21st
century? Voiced by Ben Mitchell.
The Disney film, which features two dogs sharing a bowl of spaghetti, Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, thank you.
Bang on. The characters from a Shakespeare play was Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, Rosamund Jezza.
The youngest ever Golden Globe winner was Owen Cooper.
On the Romeo and Juliet, I imagine you at Harrow.
Yeah.
Were you doing a lot of thespian acting?
Yeah, big time.
Shakespearean acting type stuff.
Not hugely. I didn't really get take. I wouldn't audition for the Shakespeare stuff because I didn't really understand what it was being being said. But I was in an old boys' school, and so I saw a gap in the market to be in every play by just auditioning for the girls' parts.
Got you.
So I was in every single show.
Got you.
Just as the female lead.
Always looking for loopholes.
Loopholes. Just constantly.
That's where it all started.
So I need to stuff some bean bags down a bra, do I? Yeah, that's all I need to do. Absolutely, I'm in. And I get all the lines in the centre of attention.
Is that what they do? Put a bra on and put some bean bags down?
Yeah, that was about it. And a wig.
In character.
Wow.
I did a show called Breakfast with Johnny Wilkinson, which is set in a pub in the morning of the 2003 World Cup final. And I was an Australian girl called Lena. And I had blonde hair, a wig, and I put beanbags in my bra. And the main takeaway from the show was I went back to the boarding house and everyone was like, "Fosh, you're actually really fit." And I was like, "Thanks, guys. Cheers."
Anyone want to go on the beanbag?
I was actually, and also,
you have a soft face.
Thank you.
And I do mean that as a compliment.
Years of. Oh, I was about to make a boarding school joke.
Go on. Go on.
It's, you know, years of being the biscuit.
No, how true is the biscuit stuff?
I never saw it myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound like Prince Andrew at the moment. Yeah. I never saw it.
So there's a picture of you licking it. Yeah. I mean, that might have been fake.
No.
I couldn't have because I was on a diet.
Yes.
How do you explain this hobnob?
I didn't know it was a thing, but I did find out from mates of mine who since leaving school came out. They did say that a few of them would meet up at the, in the music schools because they were soundproof and would just go hammer and tong.
Wow. I didn't think that, because I think as a boy growing up, when you're starting to masturbate, it's quite a silent thing. I don't think you need soundproof.
But
how vocal are they being?
Yeah.
Well, no, they're shagging. If
this was to do soggy biscuit.
No.
In that case, fucking soundproof away.
Yeah, they were just booking out the music suite and just,
lovely.
Kegs down and away we go. So yeah, Harrow was fun.
Number four, the answer is Sinners.
Yeah, well done, Jake.
And number five, it is the Bear. It's 5 out of 5.
Cheers,
boys.
Are we 10 out of 12?
Yeah. We are 10 out of 12.
Get the biscuit out. Five out of five. We're going to take a break from the quizzing because it just gets a bit lot, doesn't it? We have 5 out of 5. We can relax now, basically.
Completely, mate.
I was sort of like asking earlier about the fact you have time to watch IPL and Chinese Grand Prix or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I am fascinated as to how busy you must be. We were talking a little bit before the we were doing this about how many YouTube videos you put out a year. It's something like 11, 12?
We try to do like 20 a year.
Yeah, so every
long form, and then we try and make our own like short form ones as well.
So every few weeks, something's having to go out. But they're big undertakings.
Yeah, but, we've just filmed the first ever video of trying to find the unluckiest person in the world. So we got 100 people who said they were unlucky and did like a whole studio shoot and whittled them down. and that was just that. And so we did that, and then we're kind of going to the States to enter an 8-year-old into a roast battle. So there's always just like something happening. But if I find that my life and the conversations I have with people are so bizarre.
Yeah.
But for me, they're so normal that I just say things that to other people, that, oh, what have you been up to this weekend? Oh, I went to Iceland and cooked a curry in a volcano. And they'll be like, I did some accounting. Like, it's just kind of, that does happen quite a lot.
We went for a walk.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But I find myself getting very stressed about those kinds of things as well.
Why?
The volcano hasn't erupted.
Yeah, but Matt, you cannot be putting yourself into a position where you're getting stressed out about sort of like tectonic activity. That is like that is such a burden to put on yourself. Yeah. Like the fucking volcano hasn't erupted. Like we can't do anything about it, mate. Like there comes a point where you just can't. 100 people who are all unlucky. I mean, that in itself is a massive undertaking. You've got a big team that do that, though.
Yeah, we did various different things to whittle them down. So we first of all started with 50 wishbones. They paired up. Crack.
Nice.
The person who lost the wishbone went through. It was a bit of a weird kind of.
It's an interesting thing.
It's a bit Squid Game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You hate that stuff, don't you?
It's all right.
What do you get the most like at the pub? Is are you that guy? They just say, are you that Squid guy?
Sometimes, or hey, Squid.
Yeah, Squiddy.
Squiddy.
Yeah.
You keep that one.
What do you get?
Downstairs actually was nice. Someone just said, oh, you Jake. That was lovely.
So everyone to use your name.
Because a couple of times it's been really...
Your order hasn't gone through.
Yeah, did you like... Oh, fine, yeah.
You left your bank card.
Ah, shit.
I once had someone come up with the most remarkable like version of it, kind of like someone coming up to me story. I was in a club in Edinburgh during the Fringe. And someone just did this. They were, I could see them kind of looking at the phone, just like this. Suddenly they just came up to me and just went, nodded and just walked away. And it was just my picture on Google.
Compare and contrast. Yeah,
it's literally like if I do this now, hold on. Hello, mate. Come on in.
Hello.
That's amazing.
No, not at all. It's like this. We don't really know the door situation ourselves. How are you? Lovely to meet you.
This is Connor. This is Liam. This is Jake. This is Maisie.
Lovely to meet you. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, so it's literally like someone just going. didn't even want to chat. They just literally just wanted. It was kind of a mugshot situation.
You said that about 2% of the ideas actually come to fruition.
Yeah.
Is there really in that 98% which you just? Your gut, it didn't quite work out. Any like great ones that have sort of like the could have been.
There was
like,
one that
the ones that got away.
The ones that got away. I wanted to water ski behind a cruise ship, and we got quite close. We got quite close with Virgin Voyages and their marketing department. Like,
really?
Yeah. And then their risk department got involved and said, "Shouldn't have thought so. Shouldn't have thought so."
What is? Am I being really thick here? What is the risk?
You can get, I think, well, don't make exactly, am I right, Jake? Thank you.
Because you'd rather do it on a, you're basically next to a sort of little floating village. Like all the things you'd need to sort of sort yourself out, it's all there.
And it's not going to be,
but I'm on the water.
I know, but if you fall in, you know, they've got a lot of equipment to get you back out.
Yeah, I think the worry is that the wake of the boat will suck you under. And then you're having a little meet cue with the propellers.
Oh, I see. Yeah, which could be a problem. Yeah. Yeah, well, don't do that. That sounds absolutely terrible.
We wanted to, water ski behind a cruise ship, enter Nobel Prize winners into a pub quiz. Wanted to do that. There's just a variety.
Did it all start with did everything start from the interviews at clubs?
2017, at uni. Out of uni, on the street.
What was the spark that made you want to start doing that?
Because
you were everywhere.
That's good to know. It was 2017. I was at Newcastle. There was a television society, like a media society, and they did basically the Vox Pops, but they were doing like a 28 minute cut of the video, and they post them like once every 6 months. And I applied to be one of the presenters. There's like, shouldn't have thought so. We've already got our presenters. Mm. So I thought, I think that these can be made, but if you make them 4 minutes, and you make them weekly, there's something there. So I just gave myself a challenge of every week at uni, would go out, film and edit and post, and on Facebook at the time. And I did that for about a year and a half. Wasn't making me any money, it was just a bit of fun. And then I graduated uni, and then I met a YouTuber on the street called Zach Alsop. We broke into Fashion Week together.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. And then it all kind of went from there. But wow. I was making a video for about two and a half years before I suddenly became a quote-unquote YouTuber. And that
were
was
you, with that Vox Pop and stuff, were you one of the first Vox Poppers? Because obviously they're like 10 a penny now. But
yeah.
In 2017, that wasn't much of a concept.
It wasn't really a thing because, it definitely existed. Mm. I mean, there's been, interviewing students on nights out has been a tale as old as time. But I think now definitely with TikTok and short-form content, it is now really, really like taken off.
Did it ever get a bit hairy?
Not really. I remember I would go out in Big Market in Newcastle, and then it's like I was going to work, and there was always the same busker called Gary, who it was hilarious because Gary hated playing Wonderwall. And so it was like the two of us would turn up to work together, and he just with his guitar, and he was like, Gary, Max, have a good night. And I was like, hello, Gary, good to see you. And we'd both kind of like work the strip for about an hour and a half. I wonder what Gary's up to now. Probably still playing Wonderwall. And he would, over the course of the night, he would play Wonderwall, and then each time someone would request it, he would add £1 to play it. So you're like, I'll do it for £3. I'll do it for £4. I'll do it for £5. And he'd just play Wonderwall all day. I was just kind of did it outside nightclubs in Newcastle, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I never really got that hairy. What I found out was people would say outrageous stuff just to get on.
Right.
Once it started to have a little bit of a thing
in Newcastle, just like, right, I know how to get on this. It's just to say the most abhorrent
thing. And would you make sure you cut them out? Then,
yeah,
just
I
out
would.
Of like,
I would, because it wasn't really like very nice.
Right.
It would be like, suddenly a pretty dicey take on the Israel-Palestine conflict. You'd be like, whoa, I was asking you what your favourite cheese is, lads, chill out. So there was a bit of that going on. And then I did the posh people, and that was posh people. It's like Stockholm syndrome. They absolutely love.
Because when it was like really, really funny, like actually funny. I feel like that a lot of that genre of internet stuff now, vox popping, drunk people, is just like, how many people you slept with? How many people you slept with? How many people you slept with? What's your body count? How many people you slept with? And that's it. And it's just like, it's relentless.
It's just, it's been going for like, what, 10 years, like nearly 10 years since it started. So yeah, and the internet landscape has changed so much. We don't really like seeing that anymore because we know there's a connotation of, are they slightly being taken advantage of? I don't really like this at all. Mm.
And then when did you start doing stand-up?
In 2021. So I was like, I have an audience here. I was like, I'd love to do shows because I didn't really want to sell any merch. So I was like, right, I'll just start, writing a bit from the video that never really made it into the video, or let's say something happened externally. I played a game when I was at a drinks party. My mum held a very posh drinks party. I wore a little microphone and just basically recorded all the questions I was being asked about. And I turned that into a bit of like 10 minute bit. And I had a bit here and a bit there.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I met this guy called Ed Stambaloujan.
Who is
a theatre director. And we kind of like crafted a show over the course of a year. And so I've done two shows with him.
Yes. I should really ask about those very successful shows. However, I want to ask about the opposite of that, which is a story I remember you telling me about. Oh gosh, you're gonna have to help me here.
The gig that I did at a music festival.
Yes. But like sort of Village Fate / music festival type thing.
I'd done like one gig, and I got a message from a family friend, a very wealthy family friend, who was hosting their own festival in their garden. They're like, we need an MC. Do you want to come on and do like 5-10 minutes of content, material? You're a comic now. And just having the hubris and the total arrogance that I did, I was like, yeah, I can do this. I turned up to this friend's place, and there was a stage, and then there was 30 meters, and then there was deck chairs. And I then had to do, and like, it was all just like, Like, right, guys, Max is going to do his thing now. Guys, oh, come on, Max is doing it. Here we go.
Like a kid's show.
Yeah. God, he's going to do... He played recorder. Max, he's been learning at school.
Max has done a dance.
And the only bit of material I had was about people's notes. I'd do like a bit of improv of like going through the notes app on people's phones to see what they'd written. And that was also logistically horrific you want to get involved? Oh, come on then. Get up out of the deck chair. Can't I walk 30 metres? Get to the wrong side of the stage. All past the phone. You wrote this in lockdown. Oh, isn't that embarrassing? You had to come back up, give the phone back. It was horrible.
Just crowd work.
It was, yeah, just crowd work. I didn't have any.
But crowd work when you've done one gig.
Yeah. It was...
And everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Everyone knows each other.
And then what do you do?
That's Sandra. Yeah. Do you want to know everyone else's name? No, I'm going to ask them myself because that's part of it.
And the worst thing was, it was like family friends. So it was like, oh yeah, Max, he's doing the stand-up now, isn't he? In the way that like posh people are so... They're so supportive, but they're so hubristic as to like the success of like when someone says, oh, I'm doing this thing. Any of their kids, obviously they're going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
They just started out. Mm. And so when I did end up doing kind of more gigs and getting better and did some shows in London, I absolutely made sure to invite the owners or the people who were throwing that party to come, because I didn't want that to be the lasting memory of me doing crowd work to 30 people 30 metres away.
And then that gig bombed.
And that gig going bombed. Oh, and really, it gets going.
He shouldn't have. is that your worst ever gig?
No, my worst ever gig was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was on tour in America and I saw the list of the schedule of the venues and I was like, yeah, DC, all the major hubs. And then I saw Fort Lauderdale. I was like, okay, right, why are we going there? And they're like, no, it'll be great. And they put me in a 1,000-seater venue, and I was like, "What? Okay." And it was the day after the election in America.
Yeah,
Trump had just got in, and I had like got a joke, which was I think that U.S. elections are far too important to be decided by Americans. anyway, so I just had this, and I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty strong. We arrived at the venue. I was like, guys, how many tickets have we sold tonight? They were like, 102. By the way, Max, it's unassigned seating. So I said,
so no one's going down the front.
Yeah. So, and it was all this venue.
102 dotted around 1,000. It's 1,000.
And it was in, it wasn't even balconies. You could shut off things. It was just one set of 1,000 stalls, just wide and deep.
I bet you were praying for the deck chairs in that moment.
So I then said, I was like, right, okay, ushers, you to bring everyone to the front. They're like, yeah, of course. I came out and I could genuinely see in the lights, because the first three or four rows, I could see six people. So that, I've got to make a joke here. So I said, Fort Lauderdale, thank you so much for coming to my sold out show. They didn't get the irony. They didn't get the sarcasm. So then they started to panic. They're like, where is everyone? what's happened?
Well, it's not.
I then did the US election gag. Went down like a sack of shit. Then realized halfway through the gig that they had obviously, this is this new theatre that had been built, they had given a lot of the patrons of the theatre who'd funded it like free tickets, and they had said, oh, it's a comedy night, here you go, here are some free tickets. But the demographic of Fort Lauderdale, Florida is just a lot of old people.
Yeah.
So then the exit was at the front by the stage. So every two or three minutes, I would just hear thudunk of seats hitting the back.
How long were you on for?
About 70 minutes.
How long?
It was my show. It was my tour show. So it was a 70-minute show.
I thought you did. For some reason, I thought you were just doing like a 10-minute thing.
No. It was a full... This was loop on my original tour.
It was part of your tour.
And so I would then see every 5 or 6 minutes just an elderly couple just hobbling down to the front.
Can't even leave quickly.
And then leave out the side. Anyway, did the show. I got through it. I closed my eyes and just did the show. And then the punch and the kicker was, it was so American. They were like, right. My tour manager said, oh, Max, this venue has a bit of a policy about security. So they make sure that each act gets back to their accommodation safely. I was like, what does that mean? Anyway, I exited stage door. Firstly, they had two barriers for people to stand behind with no one there, as if told them back. So there was no one there. And then at the end of this, about 10 metres away from the stage door, on the road was my Uber, flanked on either side by two cop cars with the lights going. And they gave me the blues and twos.
Oh, no!
Five minutes back to my hotel. And I was like, God bless America. Oh, there was also a two about 17. Well, no, I think they were about 16. They'd obviously been like, Mum, can we go to this YouTube that we like? They'd obviously been given about $50 worth to get snacks. And in the first half, they had brought out two enormous boxes of candy floss, like absolutely enormous. And I came back on in the second half, I could see they completely finished both of their respective candy flosses. And just before the end of the show, I saw one of them just... I just saw him vomit just straight into his box of candy floss, and then the other one did the same thing. I was just on stage wrapping up the show, just thinking, "Am I gonna ref? No, I'm not. Thank you so much for coming out."
To be fair, it's not much different to what we do with drinking on the weekend, is it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Back to the pub.
Back to the very laddie quiz. Nice segue. Well, look, we've got one round left of the quiz. It's called Total Wipeout. I imagine in this round, if we get one wrong, we're wiped out.
So oh, nice. Yeah, fine.
But look, we've already got a 5 out of 5, so I feel quite confident that we could just sort of, I don't know.
Has Davo given us a kind of a bar for like how we're doing? Like, you know, top 10% gets 16 out of 20.
It'd be nice if Quizmaster, I just think we'd be asking too much of them, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we struggle to get enough quizzes in anyway, let alone them give stats on how they perform. We think that if we can get over double digits...
Actually, if any quizmasters are listening, maybe it might be a nice thing to just say what you think would be a good score from this quiz.
Yeah, that's really
future,
nice.
Future segment.
Yeah. There we go. A little bit of organic engagement would be really nice, guys. Question number one. Where in the body would you find these... Beg your pardon? Oh, Max, you've got to go, mate.
Yeah, sorry. Find it.
Where in the body would you find the stapes bones?
Okay.
You know this?
Yeah, but again, we need to have quote-unquote banter.
We don't need to have the banter. Like you're always heavy with the banter word, with the B word there.
B word.
We can have discussion, and if banter happens, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
It is.
Yeah, and on that occasion, it didn't happen. But I know the answer, but we need to have banter.
Yeah.
do you like your ears? That's what it always is after a question. Disney films. Not Disney films?
Yeah, it is. A little bit.
And then what's your favourite ear?
I got do any weird ear stuff?
Yeah.
I actually do some weird ear stuff.
Can you move them without
you got them pierced?
Do you reckon you'll ever take the earrings out? Are they with your teeth?
Alright, where's that 70? Come from?
They're very gold.
Oh fucking hell, it's on both flanks now. I'm very addicted to putting cotton buds in the ears. I find it almost sort of like, you know how people say sneezing's an eighth of an orgasm? I reckon it's probably like quarter.
There is a funny feeling to go careful because you could damage your eardrum.
Yeah, no, I know that. That's 101 when you've got an addiction to cotton buds, people taking it out.
Do you ever go other areas of the ear or just straight in?
Do you do the outer bit around there?
I foreplay myself, yeah. So I'll stroke the outsides and then I'll sort of get in.
Ever do the back?
I've never done that. Is that good to do?
No.
A lot of grime on there?
Yeah.
Innovator.
Number two, in which US state would you find the city of Phoenix?
Yeah.
Max, again, you can tell us that you know the answer.
Yeah, Phoenix is a good, aren't they? Yeah, Harry Potter and that. Birds, fire.
Ever heard of Phoenix?
That was a nice little touch. Max looked over at Maisie. She just went... sort of eye roll of like,
oh god,
all the time.
Yeah, so you don't have to live with it.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah,
she's so sick of my shit. Arizona is what we're looking for. Arizona.
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 The name of what food translates to twice cooked or baked? This might be.
Oh,
twice cooked, twice baked.
I've been asked this question before. And I remember someone in a pub quiz being like, oh, it's that. And I was like, of course it is. It's
Sounds right.
Cuisson. Oh, for goodness sake.
Do you know, Maisie?
Mm.
That's really not sweet the way that you know you're really fucking wrong on that. Can't believe you even said that. Dauphin Noir sounds all right to me. It's really not, is it? Not heard it. Honestly, not heard it. No, I think let's leave it because also it's Total Wipeout as well.
Oh, God, I didn't know it was a Wipeout,
yeah.
Round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, question number 4, Man I Need is a song by which British singer-songwriter? Olivia Dean, you happy with that?
Dino.
Dino. What a song as well. Question number 5, which famous brand shares its name with the Greek goddess of victory?
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, true. Keep thinking it's a fucking exam. I don't know what's...
It's Nike or Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, let's find out the answers to the Wipeout round.
It was only 4 questions.
5 questions. We left out number 3.
What was?
Twice baked.
Twice. It's a stipend, Phoenix, twice baked, and victory. And
Olivia Dean.
Olivia Dean. Olivia Dean was number 4.
Oh, I've missed out Olivia Dean.
So, question number 1. Where would you find the status bonus? It was the ear. Brilliant.
It's got to be Fosh if we're going to do it now.
Yeah, it's going to be Fosh. Question number 2. But have you met Big John?
No, I've not.
You've got to do something with him, surely. Yeah. In which US state would you find the city of Phoenix?
Arizona.
Fosh. Question number 3. We didn't go for it. We were going to say potentially Dauphin Noir.
Yeah.
Before you scowled at your girlfriend who's kindly come to see you here. It's not Dauphin Noir, fucking idiot. Shut it up. It's embarrassing. I'm at work. It was Biscuit or Biscotti.
Oh, I was never going to get that.
4 was Olivia Dean. 5 was Nike or Nike. It's a 4 out of 5. It's a really, really, really good total score on
this,
I think.
Well done, team.
Really, really well done. What is the total
14
score?
14 out of 17.
That is brilliant.
2 of them we got wrong were both in the that football nickname question.
Yeah. Mm.
And then it was just Biscuit.
Biscuit.
That is one of the best scores we've ever,
yeah,
ever
you're,
had.
You'd
definitely be in the Champions League spaces.
Oh, thank
you. If we had a leaderboard, yeah.
Well done, Hip Hip.
Well done, Hip Hip. Hip Hip.
Yeah. Hooray.
Lovely stuff.
Fast.
Fash. That is so addictive to say. Fash. Now, we like to get a little review from our guest of the quiz. Today's was Dave from Big Penny Social. Thoughts and score out of 10 on Dave?
5 stars, The Guardian for me.
Yeah. But thoughts and scores out of 10?
thoughts and
always
scores
a loophole.
Out of
10. I'll choose a different famous scoring method.
Yeah.
A plus for me. Yeah. Again, if you could just. Distinction, I think, all round.
A few things. Were they all out 5? There were 5 questions on each, yeah?
Ofsted, excellent.
Yeah, fine.
I thought there were... What I think is great with the pub quiz is that 85% of the questions you get and then 15% you struggle with. And actually, if we look at the numbers, that's probably about right with the numbers that we got.
Yeah.
So well done, Davo. A bit more silly ones, I feel. Could have been fun.
Yeah. I think Dave has...
I liked the vibe of the which of these names of these clubs, because you didn't think about
things. I'll tell you what the thing is. I think Dave had his fun with the titles of the rounds. Netflix and chill and the referee's a quizzer. I think that's where he had his fun, and then he left the questions to do the talking.
Yeah.
But no, I would give him... What metric do you want?
Out of 10.
Yeah. I'll give him a... 7.9 out of 10.
7.9 out of 10. Gorgeous. Well, massive thank you to Quizmaster Dave from the Big Penny Social. His quiz is every Tuesday at 7:30. But a massive thank you to Max Fosh for joining our quiz team today.
Fosh.
Well done, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, mate, that was brilliant.